Genesis 34 on Through the Word. And if you are a kid, it's time to turn it off. This chapter has some adult content, so let your parents check it out first. Go ahead and hit the stop button now. Parents, I'm sorry to tell you, but this chapter has the kind of content that you wish you never had to explain to your kids. The Bible is a holy book, but it is not always a happy book. It is history, and history can be harsh. You will not find good guys and bad guys in this chapter. Almost everyone does wrong. Everyone follows the flesh or the rules of the world, and it leaves a mess of destruction. Some Bibles have titles at the top of each section. The NIV calls this chapter Dinah and the Shechemites. It sounds like a 60s rock band to me, or maybe a country Middle Eastern fusion. If only it were that nice. The ESV titles this section The Defiling of Dinah. That one's a little more accurate, and it only gets worse from there. We left off with Jacob and his large family traveling back toward home, but the place they ended up was not where God had called them to go. First it was Succoth, on the wrong side of the Jordan. Then it was Shechem, just barely back in the Promised Land, and a very worldly town. It was the wrong place to raise a godly family, as we shall see in verse 1. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the women of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her, he seized her and lay with her, and humiliated her. And his soul was drawn to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this girl for my wife." So the story begins with a rape. Dinah is the only daughter of Jacob, or the only one we know about. With 11 brothers, it's no wonder she wants to meet with the women of the town. But the local prince sees her walking by and grabs her, and, well, the rest is awful. The prince's name is Shechem, same name as the town. But then in verse 3, the text takes a drastic turn. Shechem's soul is drawn to Dinah, or his heart in other translations. He loved her and spoke tenderly to her. Now where did that come from? What kind of two-faced wacko is this guy? Does it seriously say that he loves Dinah? It does, and it is twisted and wrong. His heart was drawn to her, sure, but that heart was dark and self-centered and lacking all self-control. Singles, please let this be a reality check for you. A heart driven by love can still be a foul and disgusting heart just the same. Girls, he may love you, and he may speak tenderly, but without self-control and self-sacrifice, the same passion that drives the feeling of love and tenderness will quickly turn to lust, violence, and violation. True love waits. There is good reason that God says wait until marriage to have sex. A man and woman must prove their love in sacrifice and self-denial before they express their love physically. First sacrifice, then commitment, then celebration. That's why weddings take place at an altar. Hop in bed before the altar, and you're really just saying, "I love myself, and I think you should love me too." It's self-love, not sacrificial love. Marriage is founded on the covenant of sacrifice and commitment, then celebrated in bed. Altar first, bedroom second. I don't care how tenderly that loser speaks to you, he's a jerk. The heart that is drawn to you is a heart of poison, so get away. Well, that's the story on Shechem and Dinah. First rape, then love. Now he demands that his father get this girl for his wife. Dad obliges in verse 6. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. The sons of Jacob had come in from the field as soon as they heard of it, and the men were indignant and very angry, because he had done an outrageous thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, for such a thing must not be done. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him to be his wife. Make marriages with us, give your daughters to us, and take our daughters for yourselves. You shall dwell with us, and the land shall be open to you. Dwell and trade in it, and get property in it." Shechem's dad plays the consummate host here, yet you'll notice there's no place for an apology. Hamor tries to cover over it all with a little romance. "My son's heart is set on your daughter." Be careful when men claim to think with their hearts, yet act with their passions, or when they use romance to cover aggression. Then Shechem himself speaks up in verse 12. "Ask me for as great a bride price and gift as you will, and I will give whatever you say to me. Only give me the young woman to be my wife." So it looks like Shechem is willing to pay any price at all. When the heart is allowed to lead, it will offer to pay any price, never truly counting the cost. The heart is terrible at counting cost, so use your mind. Notice Shechem never promises to care for her or provide for her, only to pay off the family. Then in verse 13, the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and his father Hamor deceitfully, because he had defiled their sister Dinah. They said to them, "We cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be a disgrace to us. Only on this condition will we agree with you, that you will become as we are by every male among you being circumcised. Then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to ourselves, and we will dwell with you and become one people. But if you will not listen to us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter, and we will be gone." Shechem said, "Name any price," and boy did Dinah's brothers name a price. "Circumcise every man in town." The cost was high, but Shechem doesn't hesitate. In verse 19, "And the young man did not delay to do the thing, because he delighted in Jacob's daughter." Again, these are very romantic terms. That's all well and good, but a man without character or morals can be delighted with a girl just as easily as a good man. Ladies, don't be fooled by romantic terms and notions. He may be delighted in you, and that can change his words for a little while, but it will not change his character. A jerk is still a jerk. And unfortunately for Shechem, a jerk in love is also a fool. He falls for the trap all too easily. Shechem and his father go right to the town gate to make their case. "Hey, these men are friendly. Let's join families. There is a small price to pay, but there's a prize too." Look at verse 23. "Will not their livestock, their property, and all their beasts be ours? Only let us agree with them, and they will dwell with us." And all who went out of the gate of his city listened to Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male was circumcised. So the deed was done, and the trap was set. The rest of the story is very dark indeed. Jacob's sons had no intention of keeping their word. It was a trick. Circumcision on a grown man leaves him weak for several days, and on the third day, Simeon and Levi, two older brothers, took their swords and wiped out every man in town. It was brutal, and it was hideous. They rescued Dinah from the house where she was still being held, and then the rest of the brothers came through and plundered the town. It was a dark and terrible day in the family of Israel. Jacob attempts to correct his wicked sons, but it is weak. In verse 31, the boys hide behind their own sense of justice. They said, "Should he treat our sister like a prostitute?" The brothers insist they were justified. Shechem did wrong, so he deserved it. This is the perverted sense of justice of the world and of the flesh. If I am wronged, I have the right to avenge, many times over. Vengeance is the Lord's, let him repay. Later, when God gave the rule, an eye for an eye, it was given to limit man's vengeance and stick to equitable justice. So where is justice in this story? Do Simeon and Levi get away with it? No, God is always just, and we reap what we sow. In Genesis 49, Jacob prophesies over his sons, and their future suffers for their actions. "Cursed be their anger, I will scatter them in Jacob." As for you and me, read Genesis 34 today. A hard story to stomach, but lessons God would have us learn. Hopefully by reading rather than experience.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.